Yeah, so let's group chat, if you will, on, because as I look around the room, I think everyone here is worrying about longevity, if you will, you know, and not just living longer, but my buzzword is not just adding life to your, you know, years to your life, but adding a lot more life to the years you got, right? Which I think is the current spin in that book, by Dr. Siegel, and the name escapes me. I'll think of it. I'll look it up. His book, and that's what he talks about, is not just, people get too focused on, you know, living longer, but it's about living better, if you will. Lifespan by Dr. Siegel. And that's, you know, and some of the breakthroughs that they're having and some of the things that they're stat. Of course, when I read books like, and I'll start talking, when I read books like Lifespan, Longevity, which is another book, and basically the guy goes off on a tangent about become vegan. And by the time you read the book, you go, if I got to live this way, I may not live longer, but it will seem a lot longer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, but when I read those books, especially the ones written by the medical doctors and the researchers, they focus on the pharmacological aspects of aging, the neural, you know, that they focus on all that with diet and all that. But not, I haven't read one yet that focuses on the mental part of maturing and longevity. Like when you look at the Blue Zones, Billy, I think last time we talked about, Billy and I were talking about, you know, they'll talk about like what they eat in Okinawa, which is a lot of fish, you know, but then at the same time, they eat a lot of white rice, you know, which shouldn't be, you know, white rice, you know, bad, but they, that's what they live on, right? But they'll look at like just the diet is what a lot of people focus on, or those parts of the Caspian Sea where everybody lives a long time. So they start talking about the yogurt, and that started the Greek yogurt phase and all this other stuff. But they don't talk about those other aspects, the mental aspects, that in those cultures, age just seems to be revered, you know, and honored. And in the Western culture in the United States, Canada, and Europe, and it's kind of rippling even into other cultures in Asia where youth is worshipped. You know, not, yeah, it's youth driven. That could be in, especially in the Western world, because we're obsessed by the media. But what about the mental aspects? Like I said, are they, you know, are, as you mature, are you respected? Are you appreciated? Do you stay active, or do they shuffle you off to the goddamn villages? You know, an armed camp, and you know, it's like. But I do know the guy. A lot of the people that study this, I forget who it was, either the guy that wrote that Lifespan or the other one. But there's a couple. I forget who said it, but it was an expert on aging and geriatrics. And what he said is, after everything he's read, the one thing he tell people is never, ever retire to a retirement community, right? And hang around with old people, right? Because he's you know, you'll age up to the group you're with. So you retire a healthy 60-year-old, you move into the villages, 5 years later, you look like the 80-year-olds you're playing golf with. It's kind of what he said. And I'm like, I'm, you know, kind of interesting, you know. And then the ideas get recircled, you know, and the whole, you know, back in my day, you know, I walked 8 miles uphill both ways in the snow, you know, to score a dime bag. Now you can buy it at the dispensary. These kids don't know anything about buying dope, you know. Come on, I'm trying to make this more current, you know. Not what our parents said, but stuff we could say. You know how hard it was to buy a dime bag back in the 70s? You know, and the kids say, what's a dime bag? Anyway, don't you have a script? Yeah, sorry. Canada, it's legal everywhere. So what's the difference, right? But I mean, it's the whole mental aspect as well as the diet and the exercise. You know, the other thing I'll say, and then we'll open it up, other people share. was talking to somebody, I was at the health club, and because they bake some like muffins, right? And I'm like, ah, cool, man, you should have saved me one. They go, would you eat it? Because you seem healthy. I go, did you really bake it? And she goes, yes. I go, do you like to bake? And she goes, yes. I said, then I would eat it. Because I'm convinced if you eat something cooked by somebody that enjoys cooking, it's better for your body. Right? Because they're putting positive energy. You know, it's not McDonald's where they hate their job. They hate everything about it. And they're slapping burgers on the grill. Right? And, you know, some guy supposedly did some research that said, you know, it seems to be true, you know, and then go, so, but you can't automatically leap that then all home cooked meals are healthy because the person cooking the meal may hate their family, you know, come on, let's be honest. Or it might be one of those days like, oh, I don't believe I got to cook for these ungrateful bastards, you know, But anyway, so what do you guys think about the mental aspects? Because, you know, it's the old idea about young at heart, but also young in mind. Are you young in your ideas? Are you young in different things? And when you see people that are very mature, that come across as younger, to me, they do have that younger idea and things. And one I'll mention, and people know I'm not his biggest fan, but I will say this. You know, I know a lot of people are shocked when they found out Dr. Fauci's in his 80s, right? Because he doesn't seem it, you know. You know, he not just eats right, exercises and all that, but he talked, one time he was talking about, he loves talking to the interns at the NIH, you know, and that Dr. Siegel from Lifespan talks about that's what helps keep him young mentally. He's got to keep his game sharp. Because he's got these guys coming from MIT and Harvard and, you know, the best and brightest from all over the world show up and end up in his research lab. He was on some YouTube thing. He goes, if I don't keep my game sharp, they're going to eat me alive. You know, and he said something brilliant. He goes, I never want to be professor emeritus. You know, because to him, that means they shuffle you off in the corner and tell you to shut up, you know. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting, you know. So anyway, I will shut up now. So who's going to speak first?
I will.
All right, Miss Carolyn.
Yes, well, I think attitude is everything. I think it's 95%. Rick and I talk about all the time how we can't believe that our chronological years don't match how we feel, because we still feel like mentally we're in our 30s. You know, we were having a great time, 40, we moved up here to the Northwest and we've been having fun. And I really believe that's what keeps you going and keeps you healthy. My dad lived to be 100, and that man loved a good joke, let me tell you. If it hadn't been for the dementia, he'd probably still be here. But I really think attitude is everything. I know I could eat better. I know I should exercise more than I do. I think it's the attitude, honestly, that's getting me through. And Bernie Siegel writes he writes a lot of books also about healing from cancer. Because I was reading his books when I was diagnosed with cancer. I especially think that after, you know, a person survives cancer, there's this renewed gratitude that you get the second chance in life. And that makes it even more special. So it makes you more positive. And it really made me very much more committed to keeping that positive attitude. Because, oh man, when I was on the verge, I didn't want to let go. I wanted to stick around. And when I got, you know, when I survived and a lot of the people going through treatment with me didn't, it really lit a fire. So attitude, I think, is 95%. Oh, there you go.
And Carolyn, just sort of following along with what you said too, is I agree. Like it's attitude. I mean, I do my exercises and things like that, and it's and I think it's who you talk with. I mean, if somebody, when I had my birthday, somebody said, like, how old are you? And I went, okay, the body I inhabit has been around for 70 years and it's serving me very well. Inside, I'm a million years old, I'm 10 years old. I mean, it's a crapshoot. It depends on who I'm with. And I think, like, we do ourselves a disservice because a lot of my friends will say, well, you know, Laura, you're just getting old. Because old's an attitude. Old's a frame of mind that we have, right? So, yeah, I'm getting older, but... know, even retirement. So somebody says, I can't retire. And retirement's got that connotation, right? You're old and you're retiring, being put out to pasture. And... or even semi-retirement. So I was talking to a friend because I said, nah, I can't put that label on and I still need to work. So he said, well, it's like the coke ovens in the steel companies. They always have to be going. They're not fully functional, but they always have to keep going. So he said they're called hot idle status. So I'm considered in hot idle status. So I think, diet, exercise and all that works. And, you know, I think we need to be like a chameleon in terms of age, like whoever we're with, like you just be who you are. And I'm reading this book called Dying to Be Me by Anita Murjani. And she had cancer and actually went into a coma. Almost nothing left of her. And she came back within about 24, 36 hours. So I think sometimes we have to, like yourself, who is a cancer survivor, and somebody who's had near-death experiences, we almost have to live like we've had a near-death experience. Like, get rid of the fear of dying, get rid of the fear of living, and just be who we are.
Okay, cool. All right. How about Albert, Dr. B?
So I've become really interested lately, I guess through the with the lockdown and the pandemic, about just, you know, health and longevity in general. And, and I also teach a class at my college on lifespan development, which is developmental psychology. And we talk about the entire lifespan and, you know, we talk about the blue zones, the research done on the blue zones, and how a lot of these people, the blue zones, live to be over 100 years of age, and there's no modern medicine there, like what we would have here. Yet they're healthy, and a lot of times they even smoke. You know, they they're healthy at 100, you know, 105. And one of the things I believe always is that social connections also help. You know, whether it's, you know, through religion, spirituality, or just the community aspect, which is why I'm very, I speak a lot about against the lockdowns that we have, because I feel like that the deprivation of social contact is critical for a lot of people. You know, I get it. I know I get they're trying to say it's for safety, but at the same time, you know, what I think it's costing the health of a lot of people. Because we need that community, and that's not really over a computer. That's by being in a, you know, with other people. So I'm a firm, you know, believer and opponent of social, because we're social animals. If you really want to strip us down, we're social beings. So, you know, I think it's all, like, you know, what Carol and Lori said, it's all about mindset too. You know, a lot of people will say when they say their age, you know, you can almost tell when they say that, you know, they be like, you know, I'm 50 years old or I'm 50 years young. That makes a big difference. That one word, because that's kind of like how you look at it. And I think we got to stop telling ourselves every day, I'm getting old, because that's going to make our symptoms worse, or even, you know, in our mind, create that. And, you know, I've seen, you know, I mean, I look at, and again, I keep saying this, I look at Billy Blank, who's in, you know, mid to late 60s now. who's in better shape than a lot of people in their 20s and 30s. And
yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, literally, you know.
Yeah, look at Stallone.
Yeah.
You know.
And, you know, even Willie Banks is like kind of like, you know, showing up his daughter and his wife, you know, with he's in better shape. And then you see other people in 50s and 60s that are have multiple hip replacements, multiple, you know, joint replacements. And it's like, and they're walking with canes or they can't even walk anymore. And I, you know, I do believe it. Yeah, it's lifestyle, but also I think it's frame of mind. So big component on having a positive attitude. And,
cool. Yeah. Well, and it's like anyone here who follow Bruce Lipton, Dr. Bruce, he talks about one, and he's a biologist. He's an honest to God doctor of biology and that real deal, all that University of South Carolina and all that. But he always, I heard him give a talk, and this is back in the 90s. He's speaking at the International Medical and Dental Hypnotherapy Association. And he goes, I know I'm not supposed to say this, but one of the things I convinced, if you want to stay healthy, avoid doctors. You know? And some people in the room got like, and he's like, I'm just telling you, they find stuff wrong. That's their job. And, you know, it's like, you know, they're like a good accountant that are always going to err on the side of, you know? So anyway, I still remember, yeah, Bruce Lipton. Talks about.
So what I feel is that the lifespan has definitely increased today. It's just mainly because of all the medications that is available. What is the quality of that lifespan? So that commitment comes from us, from our being healthy, from we being very happy about you know how we lead our life. And that's where this mental attitude and being focused and committed in leading a very healthy life. That's what is going to help us to remain more healthy. So it's all our frame of mind. I remember during my first pregnancy, I had BP. And post that, it continued for some time post-delivery also. And then when I used to go for a checkup, my doctor used to say, you are what you eat. I think that's very rightly said, you know, what we eat. And like Dr. William was saying about the food that we make at home, it's more healthy because there's a lot of positive energy goes into it when we cook for our family. Like you said, if that same may not happen when you are going and eating outside because they are just doing their job and they may be really harassed by, you know, that working and they may not be very happy about working there. So probably that also makes it more unhealthy. So the quality of life, how we lead and how we bounce back from every kind of issue is left on us. Like I had a knee problem because at one point of time, I think I used to train and I used to stand from morning till evening. I had only this much little space where I would be standing from 10 to 6. The only time I take rest is my lunch hour of around 1 hour. So I used to have severe knee pain and I had to cook at home morning. I get up at 5:30, cook, go home, go to office, come back again. And again, I'm into the kitchen cooking. So that was the kind of lifestyle I was leading. So I, fortunately, when I went to, like he said, I went to a doctor, so orthopedician. So he said, you have arthritis. So I said, no, I'm not going to get stuck with this mental thing of, you know, I have arthritis. Thankfully, we had sports doctor. So I went to the sports doctor with all kind of exercises, which I still do regularly. I do aerobics. I jump. I go for 10-kilometer marathon. I'm perfectly all right. So I think it's all about how mentally prepared we are to doing what we want.
Yeah, I remember I was in a nursing home doing some psych stuff. And it was I kind of knew it happened, but to see it, where they brought in a doctor that was taking over a practice for somebody, and you know, he was looking at the file and they had a guy there, it's probably about late 70s, early 80s, something like that. One of my clients, I really didn't know him. I just knew he was a healthy guy. I always see him run around the retirement place, the nursing home. But I remember, I swear to God, the doctor looked at the thing and goes, this guy's not on any drugs. He's not on any prescriptions. And the nurse went, no, he's pretty healthy. He goes, well, we gotta check this out. You know, he goes, if nothing else, he's gonna go, I'm gonna put him on a statin. You know, and I'm like, but I didn't want to say anything, but I'm like looking, you know, But it made me realize how easy this mindset becomes. Because then a couple years later, I'm at the VA, I'm in the Veterans Administration, right? And for myself, I'm a client. And my knee was bothering me. And so they gave me an orthopedic thing and I'm talking to the surgeon. And he's like, well, you can do this and you can do that. Something about, they kept wanting a like knee replacement. I'm like, no, I'll never have that happen because I don't trust doctors. And he laughed, but we're talking. And I said, yeah, because, you know, I said, I'm getting back into karate and, you know, this, this, and this. And he goes, well, maybe you ought to just stop karate. I don't know what happened, but I looked at him. I go, maybe I need a competent doctor. And he goes, you're not going to talk to me this way. And I go, technically, you work for me. You know, it's my body. You're just, you know. And so anyway, which ended up being a great thing. He kicked me up one level. So I got the head of the orthopedic department and he agreed. He goes, I would never have knee surgery. A knee replacement.
Good to know. Good to know.
He goes, and unless you can't physically walk, you know. And I'm like, anyway, but yeah, how that mindset comes in. How about you, Miss Michelle? Let me put you in the pin video. There you go.
So one of the things I've been thinking about is one of my favorite tools is reframing. And people who come in and say, I hate change. I always say, so you've never been on a vacation? You've never got a promotion? And then instantly, we start looking at words that will better reflect what they want to accomplish. Eliminating that old anchor, the negative anchor of those old words. So when I think about old, when I think about the word old, I used to be a travel writer and I used to write about the Eastern Sierra Nevada mountains, which is really, really dry. But in the White Mountains, which are east of the Sierra Nevada, there are trees that grow to be 800 to 1,000 years old. And when I think about old, and I started binge watching Lucifer because of some person's recommendation here, thanks, Bill. And I think about gods being really, really old and all the wisdom you accumulate and all the powers you accumulate. So it's really about the meaning that we attach to words. And I think one of the ways I like to work with clients is to backtrack. And what else do you mean by that? And what else do you mean by that? Because sometimes people, I had a client who came in, and I'm sure everybody has had this client who says, I don't want to eat to live. Everybody says, I want to eat to live. I don't want to live to eat. If I have to eat grass and lettuce and stuff that tastes like crap, I would rather have a short life and enjoy it. And of course, that's a false dichotomy. It's not that you eat stuff that tastes like crap, so you live a long life where you hate everything you eat. But, you know, a lot of clients just need a little bit of coaching about what a good life eating healthy food that tastes good would be like. And when I hear the word mindset, one of the things I've really been struggling with is my mom is one of the most negative people on the planet, always has been. I left home when I was 17 because I couldn't stand her. And now I am stepping into the role of caretaker. And she is still one of the nastiest people I've ever known. So longevity is not necessarily linked to being externally happy. It's about the meaning. You know, maybe somebody's getting old and being really cranky, and maybe they had not just getting old and cranky, but maybe a person has a negative outlook because, I don't know, they've got something to prove. They have an identity that's attached to life as a struggle and you have to fight everything. I think about military leaders who I have never seen the movie Patton, okay? Because I just find war films super disturbing. But there are people who find a lot of meaning and satisfaction and purpose in adversarial relationships. I don't know what that taps into. I think it must be pretty basic because a lot of our spirituality, a lot of our spiritual traditions have that opposition, you know, good versus evil. So I think it's something, I think conflict is really, really basic to human nature, and in fact, maybe to life. But when, but I think finding, I mean, what does mindset mean? What does purpose mean? What is a person striving for? I think is really, really key to change. And for me, sometimes it's really, really tricky. I just try and listen to the client's words and feed back to them what their ideas are without judgment, unless it's unless they've been doing something for a long time and it just ain't working for them anymore.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Interesting. Adversarial that's what law is based on. A lot of old lawyers, they love it, right?
Yeah.
And I think the best kind of adversarial relationship is that one within us. So if you're a painter, you always want to improve your skills. If you're, I wish I could remember who said it recently. I heard somebody say, I don't have goals anymore. I have standards. So if we're trying to physically better ourselves, if we're trying to lift 5 more pounds or 10 more pounds, if we're trying to really master that recipe so that it's everything we want it to be, I think that is a conflict or an adversarial relationship with the person that we've been trying to become, the person that we want to be. I think that can be really healthy and growth-centered. So I it can also be very, very detrimental, that adversarial attitude, if it's destructive and bringing people down. But I think it's hard for me. It's interesting and it's very powerful.
Yeah. And then we'll jump to Pam, but here's something I wanted to say real quick. I just thought of, I heard, our dear friend, Tony Robbins, but he was, people that know him, you know, if you're, I had the chance to go to, I've been to a couple of his things, right? And what was the one that was really cool? Oh, Date with Destiny, right? And one of the things I noticed was a couple things right out of the gate. A, the average age of the group was early 30s, mid 30s, right? They were younger, a few older, but early to mid 30s was the average age of the group. I thought, this is interesting because Tony Robbins is not a young man, right? Well, yes, he is, he's young, but he's been around a while, right? He started doing this, he's 18. I think he just had his, if it would matter, his 60th birthday last year, right? So, and yet he appeals to these younger people. So one of the things I'm doing, I'm sitting in the audience, is what is he doing that a lot of us don't do, right? And I know people that have worked with him, and they say one of the things he does, if you've ever been to a Tony thing or seen it, is they're constantly breaking state with music, right? He'll be in the middle of talking, and suddenly he'll be like, either he'll cue it or the people in the back just do it. They don't let anything go on over about 40 minutes. Then suddenly they'll start blaring a big song, right? And if Tony's up there, whoever up there, they'll start dancing and clapping and this and this. Okay, well, that's great. And it's always upbeat, positive music, which helps. And it's 90% of the music is totally current, right? He's not playing stuff from the 70s when he came of age or early 80s, right? There'll be some of that mixed in, but if they are, they're the classics everybody likes. And somebody that knows him said when they were setting it up, they were asking Tony what kind of music he wanted to play during this. He goes, only current stuff, because that's the people sitting in the audience. And he goes, you know, if all you listen to is 70s music, people know you're old. Because then you're the guy, oh, this is real music, or the guy at the gym where you can hear Led Zeppelin blagging through his things. You know he's got to be in his late 60s, right? And so I'm like, this is kind of interesting. I never thought of that, right? And he goes, plus it makes me be current with music, you know? And he's, oh, you know, and then they'll mix in some, but it's like, interesting, right? And then people will assume you're younger if you're listening to the music they listen to, if they're younger than you, you know? And my evidence for that was I was doing a play and we were doing warm up. It was a musical for Albert, it was a musical. So we're doing the dance warm up, and the choreographer, I thought it was kind of cool. They didn't use music from the show that would warm us up. He used current, like this was a few years ago, current music, right? You know, Taylor Swift, stuff like that. And so, because I like that kind of music, I was actually singing along as we're doing this. And I remember one of the young chorus girls in the thing goes, "Wow, I'm surprised you know all this music." And I'm like, "Well, why?" And she goes, "Because I thought you were my parents' age. I guess I was wrong." And I'm sitting there going, "Actually, I know your parents. I'm older than your parents." You know, but so it just, you know, it's that keeping it current in my mind. Anyway, how about Miss Pam in Jersey? Jersey.
I will.
Jersey girl.
I noticed a couple of times when I tuned in to you that you had the music blasting before you kind of tuned into us. And I kind of figured you were really psyching yourself up like Tony Robbins. He does. One of the things he does is he has a lot of energy. And he does, by the way, have a plant-based diet. You were talking about diet as well before. And a lot of the anti-agers do recommend a plant-based diet. But anyway, for myself, when people ask me how old you are, I tell them I'm ageless. And I like to see myself that way. I don't like to see myself as any particular age. I do have a goal of living to well over 100 and a healthy well over 100 and a vital, healthy and purposeful over 100. Anyway, I think that purpose is really important too. When you talk about the blue zones and some of these other people that have been 80 or above, I think one of the things that keeps them going is a sense of purpose, a sense of living their mission, a sense of pursuing their passions. And that doesn't turn off with the people who are so full of this mission for themselves. And Carol, I wanted to say, I'm a big fan of Bernie Siegel. I studied with him, and he has a group that's called ECAP, for exceptional cancer patients. Mm-hmm. And his whole thing is love, medicine, and miracles. Mm-hmm. And a big part of that is love. And being around people you love and family and friends. And again, that goes into the blue zones as well, is this, everybody's talking about it. And I so believe it is true about the sense of community, a sense of respecting the elders, the wisdom, you know, everybody has touched on that, but I just feel so strongly about that, where the people are looked up to and respected and sought after for their wisdom. These are the people and the society and the communities that really age well, and they are physically active too. A lot of them, that's one of the big components, is not only their diet, they have a very healthy diet, but they're also very active. They're working in the fields, they're doing, you know, manual physical things. And I'm with you, Will, in terms of what you were saying with doctors. I like very seldom see a doctor. I actually am studying to be a naturopath because I want to be my own doctor. And I believe, you know, we're trained that the symptom is the cure, that the body's, that the symptoms are the body's way of telling you something is out of balance, and it's the symptom is the attempt of the body to restore itself to a state of homeostasis. And if you can work with the way that the body is meant to heal, and then the body will heal itself. I believe that most of the time that is the case. If you can get rid of the toxins and you eat right and exercise, have a good mental attitude, that the body will heal itself. So I am a big believer. I believe I follow Bruce Lipton and epigenetics, and you know, I just, you know, I do everything to heal myself. I am a caregiver for my mom. Michelle, I relate to what you were saying. My mom is very negative. She's depressed, but she is not a miserable person. She is like the sweetest person on the face of the earth. And, but she's not on any medicine either. And she's elderly, but she's not on any medicine. She's on a lot of vitamins, but not any medicines. And the doctors all have that same reaction, Will, that to her. Like, how could she be this age and not be taking one single medicine? So, cool. What was I going to say? I just drew a blank. Oh, also, one of the things I do is... when I'm doing my hypnosis, in my self-hypnosis, I take myself back to when I was younger, and I relive some of those memories with a passion, with enthusiasm, and with emotion. And it's almost like I am actually reliving that and re-experiencing that and trying to, you know, kind of get my body into that frame, my mind and my body into that youthful frame of mind. And Will, you had mentioned about the nursing homes and the senior villages and stuff. I used to be a backup singer in a band, and one of the things we would do is we would go into the nursing homes. You know, we would volunteer our time to sing for the nursing homes. A lot of the oldie stuff, the stuff you don't like, the Temptations and various different groups from like the 70s, and it would break my heart. I would see the people there, and I'd go around, and I'd be hugging them and everything. Unfortunately, these days you can't do that, but back when I was doing that, and it would break my heart. Some of them would cling to me and say, "Oh, honey, I love you," and they'd like grab me and want to hold on to me, and it just would break my heart. You know, just I wanted to love these people. You know, I just wanted to give to them, and it would just break my heart to see the condition that they were in. But conversely, I have to say too, I am my mom's caregiver, and she is elderly, and I would take her almost every day to the senior center and for exercise classes. And I would look around, and some of the people, again, going back to the mental state, some of the people there would be really, you know, really suffering, could barely do anything. Yet the ones that had the youthful mental state, they were people in their 80s, and they were running circles around the younger ones. I really think it has to do, well, first off, some of them had been going for years, so they were exercising on a regular basis. But also, I think it had to do with their sense of community and the socialization there. They were part of an ongoing family there, and they believed that they were young, and they were exercising like maniacs. Some of them were in the Zumba classes, and I want to be like that myself. So anyway, a lot of it has to do with state of mind. Like everything I know, I know I'm repeating what everybody else has said, but I so strongly believe it. One of the other things I do as well is when I power walk, and I'll have dumbbells in my hands, and I will use mantras as I'm power walking, and to what I'll do, say, burn fat, build muscle, burn fat, build muscle, young, sexy, powerful, you know, but I'll say it with passion as I'm, people probably think I'm crazy if they see me walking with the dumbbells in my hands and saying this to myself. As long as nobody's around, I'll say it out loud. And what I'm trying to do, and what I hope I am accomplishing, is that I am embedding these suggestions, these mantras, into the cells of my body. So I'm feeling it, I'm saying it with passion, I'm driving it into the cells of my body, and I'm hoping that my subconscious mind is believing it as well as my body is getting it as well. So anyway, and I do program for anti-aging as well. For when I do my hypnosis, I do go into a control room and see my, I have all these little dials in my control room, and I will program for youth hormones. I'll see almost like a dimmer switch and turning it up, and the body releasing HGH, you know, the youth hormone, and collagen, stimulating collagen and elastin, and I'll see my skin as smooth as a baby's bottom, and I'll give myself all kinds of suggestions like that, and I see myself programming them into my computer control room brain. So I do program for anti-aging as well, cool. As well as health. Anyway.
Well, and like you mentioned too, some people mentioned, like, when you look at epigenetics, like Bruce Lipton's looking at it, Bernie Siegel did, were there for a while. And what's the guy?
Greg Braden does too.
A lot of them look at the epigenetics. That just means genes turn on and off. And if they turn on, like to age, that means you could probably turn them off, right? And do all this other stuff. And again, it becomes that sometimes self-fulfilling prophecy. And, you know, it's just kind of interesting, you know, when you look at it. And a couple people, someone mentioned standards about, I don't have this, I have standards. And, you know, it's, when you look at like the really elite athletes, right, or also actors, they have a certain standard of what they expect of themselves. And when they don't hit it, they figure out ways to get to that standard, which I find very useful, right? Because if you have sliding standards, you know, it's like, what do they, I always say, my saying I say a lot is, you don't always rise to the level of your dreams, but you have a tendency to fall to the level of your peers, right? So you need better peers if you want better results. And people that will hold you to those standards. And so that's something I'm always thinking about. Here's my challenge to everybody. I want everybody to say one. Pick a date. And yes, now, not, you're not going to, like, could be 30 days, could be no longer than, let's say, 60 days. What can you challenge yourself to do, right, that will help you feel younger? You know, what can you do? And you got to do this publicly, and then so we can remind you, right, that to do it. And I'll say mine, I told my wife this morning, that my Earth birthday is coming up in October. And so on that Earth birthday, October 18th, it happens to fall on a Sunday, I want to film myself doing a couple of katas from karate, right? For two reasons. A, I hit the age where I legally qualify for certain government benefits, right? But it's also be just a little over a year removed from when I ripped my Achilles tendon. So that means I've got about 6 weeks to finish so I can actually do the kata, because you got to kick and you got to stand on one foot. So I'm going to film myself doing it and post it, right? Just for me, you know, because I also know in my case, if I don't put a deadline on it and make it public and put it out there, I won't do it. You know, I've been pressuring myself to do a few things. You know, and Albert's helped me with a couple, right? Well, different group of people to hang out with for certain parts of my life. And that's good. It's holding me to a different standard, you know? And because as all of you, a lot of you know, and Albert is in that business, besides being a psychologist, you know, I do theater, I do acting. And so I'm hanging around with working actors, which raises the level, you know? It's like, hey, these people are good, you know. It's you know. So yeah, it's kind of fun. So I want everybody to announce, what are you going to do that you can, you know, lay that challenge out so you can do it. So we can start with since I just mentioned him, Dr. B.
Well, like I, one of the things I started to do, because I was reading, and watching a lot of Dave Sinclair's videos on longevity. And the one thing he said, you know, been taking some supplements now, like, you know, multivitamin, vitamin D, resveratrol. So that's something I'm going to continue doing. And also, I started doing a little bit of fasting here, like intermittent fasting, which I heard has been a lot. There's been a lot of research on that and longevity, not just for weight loss, but just longevity in general. And I've noticed that mentally, I'm more focused when I don't eat in the morning. Like, I used to always have to have breakfast, but I noticed this past year that if I don't eat in the morning, I'm actually more focused and more energetic, which goes against everything I was taught as a kid in health class, goes against everything. So what I've been doing now is, like, you know, I'm eating two times a day, lunch, you know, mid-afternoon and dinner time, and that's it. And then, you know, repeat the cycle, and it's going great. And I think, you know, I might even extend that, you know, even give myself more challenges.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I always remember the idea that breakfast is the most important meal of the day was funded by the Kellogg's Corporation.
I did not know that.
Kellogg's are General Mills. Somebody makes cereal. Yeah. You know? So I'm like, interesting.
Hmm.
Cool. All right. How about Lori?
There we go. Well, I don't know. I've got, like, my exercise program and everything is, like, at its, like, peak at this point. And, I think my challenge is for the next month is to, which also makes me feel really good. I really enjoy it, is to get through the master's level of NLP. So, I did the refresh on the basic, which I did in 2015. So I was then older material, but so that was good. And the conversation and that. So just keeping that and just pumping it up. So I guess that's probably about 30 days out.
Cool.
Get that and then launch into the trainer. So
cool. All right.
That makes me feel good. Yes.
Cool. How about Carolyn?
Yes. I was just looking. Everyone has made such great points. And for me, I want to focus on just really being consistent with my own wording. One of the things I've been trying to do, I have an older brother who's 5 years older than me, and he's very old world, very old school, and so he's 72, and he talks about always, you know, oh, well, I'm old now, so I'm supposed to feel this pain, and I'm trying to turn him around. I don't know whether or not I'm going to be successful with that, but that really bothers me. So I know for me, I'm going to continue in my own way, seeing doctors less. I'm getting off medications. I'm following more naturopathic methods to try and deal with some of the issues that pop up for me. And, just being so mindful of my words more than ever. I mean, I am, as an NLP person, especially with my clients, but sometimes we don't do it for ourselves. So I am really making myself accountable for the way I speak to myself and how I express my own emotions. I wanted to just say that Greg Braden, who co-teaches a lot with Bruce Lipton, has a free webinar coming up if you haven't seen this. It's called Super Cycle 2020, if anyone's interested. I thought you might be interested, Dr. Will. And it's Wednesday, September. What's the date here? September, I want to say
23rd
or 30th. It's got to be. You got it. Yeah. Yep. No, September 30th.
Wednesday.
Yeah, at 11 a.m.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what time zone, though. I was looking for that. But it might be very interesting because he's very much into epigenetics.
Cool.
So, yeah, I'm just trying to live my talk, walk my talk.
Yeah.
Stick with it.
How about Michir?
Well, Michelle has always had trouble with physical activity for a variety of reasons. And right now, space is a big thing for me. And someone recently told me about something called Qigong. So my goal for the next 30 to 60 days is going to be some kind of intentional physical engagement. And that's all I'm going to do, because there are things that I already know that I can start as early as today. And I'm going to look into Qigong, which I hope will give me something to do that's a little more interesting and challenging up to my capabilities, and something I can just learn new to play around with. So that's it. Daily, intentional, physical activity.
Cool. All right. How about Miss Pam?
I'm with Michelle there. I recently was moving furniture and I threw my back out. And so I've been hobbling around. But I want to get back to exercising, and that's real important to me. So that's what I'm going to do, is work on getting myself back and doing as much exercise as I'm capable of doing. And so that would be important to me.
Cool. All right. And Shyamala, in beautiful.
Yeah, so I would continue with my exercises and my yoga on alternate days. More so is my, not indulging in sweets. That's where my weakness is. I have a sweet tooth. If I see, I would like to eat it, and not one or two, I may pick up 4 to 5 pieces. So the idea is not to indulge in sweets. Otherwise, my exercises are very regular, but this is my issue. So that's my goal.
All right, cool. All right, so that's it for today. Saturday is our the Inner Power workshop thing. But this Saturday and this Saturday only, it's at 1 o'clock, not noon, because my wife and I got roped into being a part of a dance recital for her best friend and goddaughter, this dance recital. So we got to go do that, but we're doing it at 1. It's going to be fun. I hope everybody can join. And keep in touch. That's it for today. And I'll see you all soon. Have a great day.
You too. Well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Live long and prosper.
Bye.